I want to talk just very briefly about how we chose the books of the Bible. You have no doubt heard, especially recently, if you've watched some of the recent movies that have been out, you know, the Da Vinci Code and some others, they make a lot of, in fact, the book by Dan Brown, The Da Vinci Code, makes a lot of assertions about the Bible and the Gospels and the things that were hidden because they were trying to disguise the marriage of Jesus with Mary Magdalene. And they point to The Last Supper, which was painted by Leonardo da Vinci. Big problem with that. I mean, the first thing that should come to your mind is, let's see, Jesus, 32 AD, Da Vinci, 1,600 years later. How did he know? Just a thought. And what difference did it make? Besides that, if you look at some of Da Vinci's paintings and other paintings of the same time period, they often painted the disciples very effeminate. That was just the style. But anyway, I digress. We have 27 books, New Testament. We have the books of the Old Testament. We have 66 books altogether. And the question is, with some of the other books that were going around, how did we end up with these books, and can we rely on the fact that these are inspired scripture? Because there are other books that you can read. If you go to your Bible bookstore, you can find something called the Apocrypha. And it's simply just a collection of books that were read in the early church or in the Hebrew culture as literature. And there was some debate about whether or not they were scripture, but they were rejected for reasons I'll give you in a few minutes. They were rejected as not being scriptural or what we would say is canonical. Don't you just hate the theological terms? It's like, just say, you know, they're not Bible. They're not Bible. So we could spend an entire semester just on the Bible, where it came from, history, and all the stuff that goes with it. We won't. There are whole fields of study where people spend their entire time on it. Bibliology is the study of the Bible. You can do a whole course on it. You can do a career in it. Soteriology is the study of salvation. Christology, the study of Christ and his person. Theology is just the study of the person of God and who he is in Scripture. All those things, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. So what I'm giving you is not the high spots. What I'm doing is I'm flying over the high spots and pointing out some of the things as we go by. So this is very general, but I want you to give the sense of it, because I don't want you to get into boredology, because that's where we'd end up. So, okay. Where was it? Yeah, so we've got these books. They're called the Apocrypha, and there's different ones of these books. In recent days, like I said, with the Da Vinci Code and Dan Brown, they were talking about the Gospel according to Judas. And why didn't they put that in? Because according to them, Judas was a good guy, you know, and a bunch of other things. And so the church, the early church, as it went through these books, had the same issue. Which one of these books can we rely on to be authoritative and to be scripture? The Jews had the problem because they had books in the Old Testament which were also interesting, like Maccabees, for example, but were not considered scripture. In both cases, what they did was this. They had several different criteria that they would use to determine whether or not these books were actually inspired. The first one and the most important one is who wrote it. It was very important because obviously a book that was written by Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, if it was really written by Matthew, the apostle, the one that Jesus called, the one that was with him for his entire ministry, then you could probably rely on the fact that at least Matthew has got his facts reasonably correct. And so the first answer is, who wrote it? And that was a very important one. The Jews were exceedingly precise and persnickety about this because they took their Old Testament scriptures very literally, and one of them was that if a prophet prophesies and what he says does not come to pass, the answer is simple. You just take him out and kill him. That takes care of that problem, and you throw his book away. But if that prophet, even though you didn't agree with him, even though your forefathers said this guy is a bad guy like Jeremiah, but if, in fact, the prophecies began to come to pass exactly as they said that they did, then those writers and those books were taken in and considered to be from the Lord. And they would take those and then they would pass those along. And that's exactly what they did with those. Obviously, the books of Moses, the first five books written by Moses, those were important and they had no problem with the authorship. The second thing is, in looking at the book that was written, even though it was written by someone that they recognized as an authority. The question was, does it have characteristics in it that would make you believe that God was speaking through it? Is it authoritative? Does it agree with other books that we know have been coming down from God, like the books of Moses and others? Do they agree? And this is a very important and interesting way to look at this. Peter, in 2 Peter, actually picks this up for us. It's a great passage, 2 Peter 3:14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. I love this. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them things in which are some things hard to understand. I love this. Let me put it in a different language for Peter. Our brother Paul, God bless him, he writes epistles and tells the truth. And some of the things he writes in these epistles, a little hard to figure out, but God bless him. I'm a fisherman and he's a rabbi, but okay. Which things are hard to understand? Which those who are untaught and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do also what? Peter is calling Paul's writing, when Paul is not dead yet, scripture. I think that's very, very interesting. Now, I'll give you a tidbit, and this is absolutely no proof for it, but I think you should just have it because, you know, you got to have a little heresy before you go home. In 2 Timothy, Paul's last letter, written probably 65, 66 AD, he's writing to Timothy and he's doing his swan song. He is finishing up his life's tale. And Paul, in writing to Timothy, at the end of the letter, is giving him some basic instructions after he gives him all this theology. And in one place he says, you know, it's cold, so remember to bring my coat. Oh, that's good. But he also says, and don't forget to bring the parchments and the books. And then you go on, and you can read that, and I think probably the safe way to read that is what he's saying is, these are scriptures, obviously, probably Old Testament, maybe New Testament letters. He wants those things brought to him so he could study, probably. But the notion that some have put forward, and I find it very intriguing, is that Paul knew he was about to depart. He says so in the book. Could it be that Paul was collecting the writings of the early church in order to put them together in an approved canon? It's possible, because one of his heroes was Ezra, who actually did that to the Old Testament. And we do find out that as early as about 50 years later, that all of the books that we recognize in the New Testament were put into groups. A couple were left out, doesn't matter right now about that, some were added in, but most of them, the books that we have, the 27, were already added in and already recognized as scripture. So much so that when we get down later on in church history, about 170 AD, all 27 books are listed as scripture that the church has recognized as the books of the New Testament. And then we get down to about 300, about 130 years after that, and something has been happening in the church. Prophesied, by the way, by Jesus in Revelation 2 and 3, you should read that. He gives church history in advance, including ours. He says that false doctrine would creep into the church, and indeed it was. And so this false doctrine was creeping into the church, and by about 300 AD, there was a very, very influential young man by the name of Arius from Alexandria. And Arius began to teach and have followers come after him and began to teach that Jesus was a created being, and that his saying was, there was a time when the Son was not. And so that's what he was teaching. And the point of this is that it pointed up some of the books and the passages of Scripture and things that the church had recognized as scriptural, but there were counterfeits, and there were things that were going around. There was the Gospel of Judas and Gospel of Thomas, and there was the Shepherd of Hermes, and there was other books that were going around, and they were watering down or changing or adding confusion to the church about doctrines. They were never considered Scripture, but they were being circulated. And so about 300 AD, a guy by the name of Athanasius, one of my favorite people, who was described to be a lot like Paul. He was short, fat, balding, and bow-legged. My kind of Christian. But Athanasius, like Paul, had a very keen mind, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and took no prisoners. And Athanasius took Arius on head-on and debated him from the 27 books of the New Testament and from the Old Testament. And the debate raged between he and Arius and the rest of the church, so that in 325, they called a meeting of the bishops, the leaders of the Christian church around the local area, around the world, basically. They came together in Nicaea, and they laid down in writing what the church believed so that no one would come along later and confuse the church. Because up to that point, they hadn't done that, so they put it down in writing. It's something called the Nicene Creed. You've probably heard it. It starts off by saying, we believe in God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and the Son, and that these three are one. And it goes on and lays out Christian doctrine. It's been attacked as the church deciding what the Bible said and then passing it on to us rather than the church understanding what the Bible said and putting it down in writing. That's what they did. They said, we don't want this confusion. We don't want any more Arius of Alexandria coming up anymore, confusing the church. We are going to put down in writing what we believe are essential truths. And they did. And then very shortly after that, about 370 AD, they took all 27 books and they canonized them. They said, okay, not only do we believe these things, but these are the books that the church has always believed and do believe are scripture. And we canonized them and put them in to the New Testament. So that's how that went. That's how we got the books of the New Testament. The Old Testament is very much similar, as I talked about. I'm not going to know all the details of that, but it was canonized long before Jesus came along. And broken up into three different things. It was broken up into the law, the five books of Moses, also called the Torah. You've probably heard the term. Jews now use the word Torah to represent all of the Old Testament, but specifically it's the five books of Moses that are called the law. And so that was one section of the Old Testament scriptures. Then they had one called the prophets. And that was, as you would expect, prophets, former prophets and latter prophets. And then finally, the writings. And the writings took in all the other kinds of books like the Psalms and the Song of Solomon and Esther and Ruth. All of those were brought into what's called the writings. It's important because Jesus himself authenticates the Old Testament scriptures because Jesus quoted from almost every single book in the Old Testament. And he called them scripture. And then after the resurrection in Luke 24, I have this in your notes, he says, he comes, but this is on the road to Emmaus, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. The Psalms was a shorthand way of saying the writings concerning me. So he was putting a stamp of approval on the three divisions of the Old Testament and saying, this is the word of God. This was written about me. And as I've said before, if you do not believe that Jesus knew what was scripture, then you have a much bigger problem than whether or not these books should be in the Bible. Because he's either right or he's not.